So for Adelaide Chronicles, I'm asking people who are willing to answer two questions. And the first one is, what does a sustainable, inclusive future that respects the first Australians look like to you? So, John, would you introduce yourself and, if you don't mind, give your reflection on that question?
I'll do my best. I find the question is challenging for a number of reasons, I guess, in my thinking. But before that, can I acknowledge that, you know, we sit in the unceded homelands and territories of the Kaurna peoples. I've been a guest here in Kaurna country some 30 years now. My name is Gurindjal John Hartley. My family the Gugul Yalanji people of far north Queensland. And now I'm happy to be here. The questions, I think, are challenging, and I think that's how it should be, because we need to ask the hard questions. We need to tussle with them, I think, for any for us to gain a collective vision of what a future together in this country may look like. So, you know, when you ask us what does a sustainable future look like for Aboriginal people, we know what that is. No, you cannot walk this country from time immemorial without having values, beliefs and practices that are centred in sustainability and continuance, you know. So we still have that memory within our marrow of what that is and what that looks like, you know. But if I was to look from today forward to some point in the future on how that may look, it's very difficult, you know. It's very blurred. But, you know, and unless we have that vision, there won't be a future, you know, a healthy future, you know. I think, I guess, and for that future, I think we, you know, we need to really start to ask these challenging questions, and we need to start to cultivate and develop a vision of what that future is. Because I guess where we're going at the moment is certainly not sustainable, you know. And but I think it's a country that will be that has come to terms with the past, that is just. And that not necessarily agrees, but respects differences and diversity, that acknowledges the great wealth and not only acknowledges, but is put into practice the great wealth and wisdom of a country that has held several hundred different languages and nations of people, that respects that, and that collective wisdom of our people, and and that we can appreciate that there's in this country where we can acknowledge and appreciate and respect that there are two laws in this country. The first law of our people, and now another law which has come in to this country. And we don't always have to agree, we don't always have to get along. That my right to self-determine as a First Nations man, as a Yalaji man, is respected, as is other people's right to exist and live their life in a manner that they're happy with and that fulfills them, you know. That respects, I think it looks like where we respect each other as human beings and the right for all to exist. And to remember that, you know, in one point in history we were all earth people, and we all sprung from the earth, we all slept in the earth. And we need to regain and relearn our reciprocal obligations to our one Mother Earth. She sustains us all, you know, regardless of culture, colour and creed and so forth. I would think, you know, some time ago, and I can only speak for myself, I wrote a letter to my future great-grandchildren of my vision of where they were. They were walking freely in their own country, speaking the language of their country, and carrying out and living the values, beliefs and practices that were born of their country. They maintained their reciprocal obligations not only to each other, but also to the plants, the animals, the rivers, and all the different shapes and forms of life within our country. And they in turn were giving birth in their country, and they were laying their old people to rest in their country, and they were free to choose to do that, you know. And I'm not saying that you know, the Western world and all that's brought here, of which we live in today mainly, is to go away or whatever. But that there is a central respect and freedom for people to live how they choose. Yeah. But unless we get back our reciprocal relationships and obligations to Mother Earth, each other and all within our kinship networks, in the world of today, it's very hard to envisage what an inclusive, sustainable society would be, and where First Nations people sit in that. Yeah? In order for me to do that, then I have to unpack a lot of things
exactly.
to get there. Yeah,
and it's very telling, isn't it? Because when you think of that, you think, well, it's clearly not what we're living now.
Well, Sue, when colonisation does, simplistic as it may sound, it does a few things. It has told us for over 230 years we don't belong in our own country. It has told us that we don't speak the Queen's English. It has told us, or the King's English. It has told us that that our future must be a part of them rather than who we were. Still today, it's a narrative put towards our people, that are that that's not your country, and you know you can't speak your own language, that you're not free to choose or determine your ways of being in this country. And our peoples were segregated and then enslaved and used as a slave labour and so on, and our lands, our country, our homelands were stolen from beneath our old people. But this still continues today. It's evident in the high incarceration rates of our young people, both men and women, and it's evident in the high rates of suicide of First Nations youth and people in this country, you know. And it's very hard to say, of course, our future must be free of this, you know. These ills that have been visited upon Aboriginal people. And we're barely 3% of the population. Since white occupation and settlement, or unsettlement, our ancestors have been talking and demanding sustainability, continuance, and all those things, you know. So it's very hard when you're treading water in these kinds of environments, you know, and to get out there and do it every day, day in and day out, over centuries in this country, and barely 3% of the population doesn't cut through, you know. And the broad movements, progressive movements in the country, we still can't cut through it, you know. And I don't know the answer to that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is it's hard to envisage. But unless we have that vision, we're going to continue to stay where we are. We have to have developed that vision, you know. And for us, for First Nations people, not only for First Nations people, but for all human beings on this continent today, you know. You know, I guess we can say all kinds of things and how we might do this or we could do that. But I think unless we really come to terms, you know, in a truthful and meaningful way with the, you know, the continuing history of this country as it is, you know, and the atrocities of this country committed and visited on First Nations people throughout the continent, you know, then inhumanity and our immaturity will continue to keep us here, I think, you know, and our ability to think through clearly what is needed, you know. And I guess that's why, you know, I find your the Adelaide Chronicles and the two questions that you pose, for me, I'm tussling with them, you know. And a lot of our people just want to get through today. Yeah. And and it's a bad, it's a, it's a,